My guest today is a TV producer-writer with a passion for first-class entertainment. She has delivered over 200 TV projects for Fortune 500 companies, major networks, and global brands. Now channeling her storytelling skills into fiction writing, she is the proud author of her second book, A Rainbow Like You. Her name is Andrea Fesenfeldt. You will find out more about Andrea at her website at andreafesenfeldt.com. That's Andrea, A-N-D-R-E-A, Fesenfeldt, F-E-H-S-E-N-F-E-L-D.com. Andrea, welcome to the Author Show.
Oh, absolutely. And first, hello to all the listeners out there. Nice to meet you virtually.
It's my pleasure. Without giving anything away or too much away, please give us a brief synopsis of your book.
So A Rainbow Like You, well, the main story follows this famous musician, Adrian Jazzer Johnson, who is back on tour with his band after a year in exile. And now Adrian is at a personal and professional crossroads, and he's also the main creative force of the band, so he's under pressure right now to deliver his next hit. And what happens is he finds this teen runaway, Hastings, hiding in his tour bus. And as it turns out, Hastings has synesthesia, the ability to see music in color, and Adrian is colorblind. So when she offers to help him unpack his creative block, what happens instead is it puts them on this very wild and unexpected journey together.
And who did you write A Rainbow Like You for? Do you have any particular audience in mind?
Well, the book is set against the backdrop of a touring rock band, so it would definitely appeal to music fans, both male and female. But the book actually has some great, funny, and light moments, but it's very heartfelt. It packs an emotional punch. So really, fans of contemporary fiction who like stories with something to say, some meat on them, with an original plot, this one is definitely for them. And it's interesting because the book is coming out at a time when there are no concerts. And for someone like me who's a live music fan, I really feel that. So this book kind of drops people into that world just for a few hours.
Absolutely. And it's true. Right now, we're in a particular time with the pandemic and certain lockdowns going on in various different places. So there's a lot of people out there really missing those live shows.
It is. And that's people who have read it, the reviews I've had. That's a big comment that people make. So it's been interesting.
Yeah. And how did you decide on the title for your book?
Well, can I just say I love book titles. And I have an idea of a book title even before I start writing the story. And that comes from my television background, because in TV, you know, log lines, taglines, titles are so very important to the DNA of a TV show. So I've translated that into my novel writing. And A Rainbow Like You has several different layers to it. Obviously, Hastings is a synesthete, so there's the color aspect there. Adrian is colorblind. Rainbows do get alluded to in the story. But what's interesting is that there's actually a tertiary layer to the title that no one has yet picked up on, or if they have, no one has commented on it. So I think that's really interesting.
Now, you've had a long, successful career as a producer-writer with CBC, I believe, and your press kit says, inspired by a lifetime of chasing your favorite bands around the globe. So how closely does this story at times resemble your real-life experiences?
Well, I caught the concert bug as a teenager, and I've seen over 400 shows around the world. I've done road trips, plane trips, festivals, you name it. And I think anytime you spend that much time in an environment, it really becomes part of the fabric of who you are. So as a result, I think this story does read very authentic, to the point where I've had people ask if I was a musician or had been on tour myself. So the story is inspired by all my experiences, absolutely. And every author leaves a piece of themselves on the page in some way, but there is never a direct lift of a scene or a situation that I've taken from my personal life that I put into the book. I think authors have to be really careful with that.
Mm-hmm. Just to keep a minimum separation.
Well, you can also get into trouble and you don't want someone that you know to read it and go, hey, is that me? And also in the States, it's very litigious down there. You don't want to get into any libel situations.
Okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. So what intrigued you then to choose about a runaway with synesthesia to become entangled with a colorblind musician? How did that theme come up?
Well, my television experience always forces me to think about a Hollywood hook. And when I talk about a Hollywood hook, it's not the plot. But it's what's going on inside the plot that's kind of buzzwordy, that people go, oh, you know, I've never heard of that, or that sounds cool. So I really think long and hard about those elements. And the thing that was intriguing to me about synesthesia is that it's one of those conditions that even the medical community doesn't really understand how it develops in humans. And when I was interviewing people who had it, you know, their experiences were all over the map. And that to me is very interesting as a writer, because anytime you can work with an element that gives you a wide creative berth, like you're not hemmed in with a lot of rules or conditions, it just allows you to explore it in ways that make sense for your character.
Yeah. And it's certainly the first time I hear the word, and I'm certainly not aware of that condition. So it certainly intrigues me and makes me want to read the book to find out more. So bravo for that. How did you approach writing scenes involving a teenage girl with a 30-year-old man? That's a little touchy.
Yeah, exactly. So that was something I had to think long and hard about, because Adrian and Hastings are the heart of the story. So their interaction had to be believable. But in this day and age, you know, a 13-year-old girl with a 30-year-old man, in people's minds, it's like, how is that not going to be creepy?
Yeah.
So yeah, I had to nip that in the bud early on. And I do that during their first encounter. And it's mainly explored through Adrian's interiority. And the reason why it ends up actually being a huge benefit is because I was able to tell the reader very early on what Adrian's moral code was.
Okay.
And that's helpful, because you need to put your readers sort of in your protagonist's corner early on, mm-hmm. that they can relate and say, okay, this is like a good guy. Because down the road, when characters start making maybe not so good decisions, your readers still need to root for them.
Yeah.
So if you can establish that early on, that's kind of a win-win. And ultimately, the scenes with Adrian and Hastings were some of my favorite to write, and they're some of the most powerful in the book.
Certainly sounds like it. You keep making me want to get this book. So the story contains great male and female characters, and I can see how that's going to appeal to both sexes. How do you approach writing from a male's perspective?
Well, did you ever see the movie As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson?
The title doesn't tell me anything. I don't believe I have it. And I love Jack Nicholson, but I'm not sure I do.
Yeah, I mean, it's an old movie, but he's a romance writer. And there's a really funny scene where the receptionist in his publishing house asks him, you know, how do you write women so well? And he said, well, I think of a man and take away reason and accountability. I know, which I love that. So, I mean, of course, it's now flipping to me. I mean, I've had a lot of male friends my entire life. You know, I'm very sporty and adventurous. And I've also worked in both finance and film, which were two male-dominated industries. So, you know, as an observer and a listener, I guess I've just picked up on how men interact and emote. Maybe I was a man in a former life. I don't know. But at the end of the day, male and female aside, we're also all human. So I think I really sort of tap into that, and then I guess I'm just able to draw all those experiences in a way that really feels accurate for a man.
Yeah, excellent. Now, you also handle a whole bunch of layers in this book, the intrusion of media in our lives, the toll that being on the road can take on someone, how racism can chip away at love. What was the most challenging part of weaving these thematic elements together?
Well, for me, theme is the most vital part of a story. To me, plot is the skeleton. It's the structure that holds the whole story together. The theme is the heart of the story. It's what gives the story life. But theme always needs a very soft hand, and you kind of have to gently weave it into the tapestry of your story. And I don't like to be overt or sort of ram messages home, because I think that readers are smart. They kind of understand on a very subconscious level. So ultimately, when I was trying to weave these things in there, it was just treading lightly, but still making sure that what I was trying to say got across and kind of packed a punch.
And you also wrote a companion song for this book that you wrote. What inspired that? And is this new for you, writing a song?
Yes. Well, I always knew the book would have a song when I started writing it in 2018. And it made sense for this story because it's all about a musician. So the song was sort of a natural extension of that whole experience. And I knew it just couldn't be the lyrics. I knew I had to create an actual song, because to me, as a huge music fan, when I just read the lyrics of a song, I can appreciate them, that they're like beautiful poetry. But without the musical component, it doesn't really hit home. You don't feel it in the pit of your stomach. So I would not recommend creating a song, though, for every story, because it was a lot of work. And luckily, I found a great producer who was able to help me bring it to life. but I spent a good period of time trying to find a singer to portray my main character. And I was getting a little bit worried after 3 months because I couldn't find anybody. And then out of the blue, this guy came to me.
So you found the singer?
Yeah, I found the singer, and he was incredibly talented, and he's chosen to remain anonymous, which actually works well for this because it's supposed to be Adrian's voice singing it. And the song is also called A Rainbow Like You, and you can find it on iTunes and Spotify.
Yeah, and I have listened to it. It's a good tune. I chased it on. I was just expecting a name, and it didn't come up, so that's great. The story is also set against the backdrop of a touring rock band. Obviously, that's part of your background, but what's intrigued you about this environment in particular?
Well, I love settings with a lot of natural tension to them. And the touring life was really interesting to me because it's a hard life. It's nomadic. It's isolating. You're dealing with these extreme emotional highs and lows all the time. And relationships are constantly under strain. You have the band members sort of bickering back and forth. And everyone's trying to maintain relationships with friends and lovers, husbands and wives. So it just felt like a real potboiler environment where on any given day, 100 things could go wrong. So right away, I knew it was kind of a winning environment. And it was just up to me to find the characters and the journey to set against that great backdrop.
So it was fun to write in that environment or with that backdrop, basically.
Absolutely. I think for people, it's hard when you don't have the stability of a home life or a place to call home and you're just literally constantly moving around day by day. It's challenging.
Is there anything else you would like to share with our audience?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I finished the first draft of the story, I really got the sense that this book was going to be a great calling card. Not only did it up my game as a writer, but I thought it was really going to sort of help establish my writing career, like take it to the next level. And my first book, I've turned it into a television series. It's being pitched right now, which is very cool. And this book wasn't even out for a month, and it got put on, you know, a best of 2020 list. So,
congratulations.
You know, as an author, I'm pretty happy with that.
Excellent. And would you like to share with us an excerpt from your book?
Yeah, absolutely. Alluding to your other question of how you write a 13-year-old girl and a 30-year-old man together, I thought I'd start with chapter 2, which is when Adrian meets Hastings. Who the hell are you? With the door peeled open, she cowered deeper into the closet, like a vampire avoiding the sun. If vampires were black girls who wore headbands and jeans. Hi, she said, as if they were somehow normal. I'm Hastings. Hastings, I repeated. Uh-huh. H-A. I know how to spell, thank you very much. How did you get in here? Behind glasses as thick as my thumb, her eyes were huge and hesitant. I snuck in. My stomach plummeted. Sweet Jesus. The bus was spacious, but how the hell could I have missed another human? I mentally sifted through days I had already tried to forget and came up with nada. When? I asked. She twirled her lower lip between thumb and forefinger. Should I answer gesture? In the silence, I quietly died. How long had she been in here? Let's go, I said, thumbing her out. Party's over. She created a right little nest amongst the Lysol wipes and paper towels and struggled to unfold herself with a modicum of grace. When her foot snagged on the handle of the Swiffer, she tumbled out, arms flailing in an awkward swan dive. I caught her just in time. For 2 frozen seconds, we were nose to nose. Don't even think about it, I said, pushing her away. We're not going there. After righting herself, she smoothed the front of her jeans primly. I'm not worried about that. Yeah, I said. Maybe you should be. Her eyes, unafraid and pretty damn frank for an intruder, fixed on mine. It might have made me uncomfortable if any hint of sexuality sparked between us. The truth was, she looked severely young and a little on the homely side. Too many creeps in this industry would overlook that and joke there's a right and wrong time to ask for ID. Lucky for her, I wasn't one of them.
Excellent. That's fantastic. In your opinion, who should be reading this book?
Well, obviously, I think it would appeal to music fans, both male and female. But, you know, getting back to your original question, I think any reader who just loves a good original story, my brand is having stories that have a little bit of a dash of wild and crazy. But I really think long and hard about combining elements that may have been explored before, but really finding that fresh take. Because you could argue that every story's been told, but my currency, my value as a writer, is finding those things like synesthesia or the music industry and weaving them into a story that hasn't yet been told.
Excellent. And of course, every author wants to sell their book, and that's perfect. What else do you hope that it will accomplish?
Well, like I said, I think this book has turned into a great calling card for me. There's been quite a bit of buzz with being on that best of 2020 list. But I mean, ultimately, my end game for writing is just to have a creative outlet that I can continue working on until I drop dead, to be honest. I want to enjoy my life, keep my brain active, and be able to share stories because it helps me render my own experience on Earth. I have so much fun writing these characters, and the fact that it resonates with readers is just cherry on top.
Excellent. And now, where can readers find and buy your book?
Well, my book right now is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and the Indie Book Butler. And I'm just working out an arrangement with Indigo Chapters, which is a bookstore chain here in Canada. And if anyone wants to connect with me, you can find me on social media. My social media handle is ACF Creative, Apple Charlie Frank Creative, or at my website, AndreaFiesenfeld.com.
Excellent. Andrea, thank you so much for spending time with me today. When you release your next book, will you come back and share it with our audience?
Absolutely.
Andrea, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. Now, as you alluded to earlier, Grant Lawrence, an award-winning author and CBC personality in the publication Vancouver is Awesome, had the following to say about your book, and I quote, "If you are desperately missing live music, Vancouver author and award-winning TV producer Andrea Fessenfeld, A Rainbow Like You, is the perfect tonic." Her second novel is a wild odyssey into the world of fictional touring rock band. A fast and a colorful read, this book comes off like a cross between Almost Famous and The Dirt. And many of these touring hijinks are based on Fessenfeld's actual experiences as a diehard music fan, right down to the first key plot point. A young girl sneaks into a famous band's tour bus and goes for a long, unexpected ride. A very well-written book capturing an era that currently doesn't exist. End quote. A Rainbow Like You is the title of the book by author Andrea Fessenfeld. Get out there, get it today, and please share this interview with your friends so that they too will have the opportunity to discover our guest and her work. I am Luc Ransonnet. Thank you for listening. Selected interviews can also be found on major platforms like Amazon.